If I told you that there was a product that could enhance every workplace decision, improve every relationship, increase your mental health, and prolong your life, would you be excited about that product? Yeah. Especially if you could afford it. Like, wow, that's amazing. Well, there's no product that can match all of those claims, but there is an attribute. And that's the attribute that is our focus of our sermon series right now. So we spend 4 weeks looking at the book of Proverbs and the attribute of wisdom. Wisdom, which is knowledge rightly applied, knowing something and knowing how to use that knowledge. Wisdom, this thing that God has sovereignly infused, at least as the Bible looks at the Bible's worldview on the earth, has infused in every part of creation. These principles that when we live in alignment with these principles, life generally goes well. And when we live out of alignment with these principles, life generally goes poorly. Wisdom, this thing that the Bible tells us should be sought more than anything else, more precious than silver, more costly than gold, something to be desired above any other item in life. Seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. And we learned last week that this wisdom, this attribute of wisdom, flows out of an attitude. You remember what that attitude is? There's one attitude. If you've got it, you can grow in wisdom. And that is, I am teachable. That a teachable attitude over time results in wisdom. But if we're not teachable, if we choose the road, because the scripture talks about the wise and talks about the fool, and the primary difference between the two being whether or not they're willing to learn. That without teachability, without curiosity, we can never grow in wisdom, no matter how much we know. And so we issued a Proverbs challenge last week, and more than 200 of you responded. It was awesome. The challenge to be in God's word daily. I mean, so that we're learning from God. Many of you have been reading a chapter of Proverbs daily. So a lot of good postings. These are the good ones on Facebook this week, where there's a proverb from the chapter of Proverbs that represents that day. So I saw a lot of Proverbs 13 going up on Facebook this morning, and Proverbs 12 yesterday, and so on and so forth. The challenge to read a chapter of Proverbs a day and highlight a verse. Now, of course, if you're already in a Bible reading plan and it's working for you, just keep going, because, you know, God's wisdom can be found throughout the scriptures, but Proverbs can be a great place to start. So if you've never started a Bible reading program, I hereby give you permission to start. You're welcome. Yeah, today could be your day. That's fantastic. Now we also, because it's not only about hearing God's word, but it's hearing God's word with a teachable attitude, we've challenged each other to grow in curiosity, to listen to what the people around us are saying, and to learn to ask good questions. Not so much questions like, how could you? Because nobody wants to answer that question. How could you? But good questions like, why do you? Why do you think that? Why do you do things the way that you do? To listen with enough of an open mind that we can actually learn from each other. So here we are in the second week of the series called Wisdom, a month in Proverbs. You can follow along the Bible app if you like, because today we're going to look at the theme of life's most dangerous traps and how to avoid them, okay? Because there are themes throughout Proverbs. There are themes where these ideas come up again and again and again and again and again in many different ways. And if you look at the sermon notes in your bulletin, you're going to see a lot more verses than I can cover. In some ways, I was a little bit tempted to make this one message like a sermon series, but that would like stretch it out a long way. So I've kind of condensed it, shortened it. We're going to just go at it like drinking from a fire hose today. But we're going to cover a lot of material really short, and you're welcome, okay? But here's what I'd like you to do. I'm going to look at three of the really significant themes in Proverbs. And what I want you to identify is which one of these three traps has had the most gravitational pull in your life. Because if we can identify the trap, we can avoid it. And here's the thing about all three of these traps. They're all good. Oh, let's go back one just for a second, just so we don't Never mind, they already know. All right, so these three of these traps is that we can see them usually pretty clearly from a distance. We can see them in other people. Oh, I can't believe that they would fall for that. But up close and personal, it's much harder. So my prayer in this message of some warning is that we wouldn't hear this so much as words of like, oh boy, here's another way I've messed things up, because we've got also, there's a long list, right? It's more of, here's some information that can really help me. Because here's the foundation behind Proverbs. Now, about 3,000 years ago, a guy by the name of Solomon, he was probably the most successful king in Israel, apart from Jesus. He wrote these words to pass on what he had learned to his son, because he's loved his boy. And he wanted his son's life to go great, just like any good parent would want for their kids. So as we hear these words, words of Solomon written to his son, may we also hear them as words that our heavenly Father would want us to hear. Not because he's looking to trap us in one of these traps or wag his finger and, man, that was dumb. But because he loves us. And he wants us to be able to avoid those things that tend to entangle our lives and cause us pain. Because when we avoid the bad things, we have a capacity to choose the good. Because for every one of these traps, the scriptures also tell us what the antidote is and what the solution is and how to achieve the good thing that we seek in the right way. So anyways, I'm going to go through them pretty quick, and you're going to have to buckle up a little bit because this is going to be fun. But I want you to identify which of the three for you in the past has had its greatest gravitational pull. Here's number one. You've already heard it, and this is trap number one, the lure of wealth without work. And if you're taking notes, and I hope that you are, it's the lure of wealth without work, and you could add, and without generosity. The lure of wealth without work and generosity. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 19 spells out at least the first part really well. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. In other words, money that you didn't honestly earn. Easy money, fast money, criminal money, money that you did not earn. Let me finish the verse. But you're doing great, Rick. Ill-gotten gain, because here's the problem with the money that comes too fast, too easy, or comes in the wrong way. It takes away the life from those who get it. It isn't that God doesn't want you to have money. He doesn't want you to have it in the wrong ways, because money acquired in the wrong ways or held in the wrong ways can suck your soul dry. It can take away your life. It can rob you of the blessing and joy and vitality that God wants for you. So, do you think ill-gotten gain ever happens today? Oh, we're gonna have, can we do this together? Okay, do you think it ever happens today? Yes, here are some examples. Now, buckle up. Okay, any quick search of the internet, see, there are thousands, there are millions of get-rich-quick schemes, right? I had a buddy in high school, like, he just fell for this every single time. You're like, do you want to get a job? No. I've got this program. There's a secret to wealth. And so here's the guy, he's off gold panning one year, and then he's working with this multi-level something or other the next year, and you're like, have you had a friend like that? No, don't point. We're just thinking. No, just look. Just think. Has that ever been you? So the get rich quick, you know, 500K in 120 seconds, 500 or $50,000 of passive income a year. Get rich quick schemes. They still exist. We still fall for them, don't we? Here's another way we fall for them. You have one of these? This is the taxation of fools who are bad at math. And we joke a little bit, but guys, I'm serious. Do you know that 70% of lottery winners go bankrupt? So gambling, that is ill-gotten gain. Do not ask me to pray for your trip to Las Vegas, okay? I will pray that the plane gets delayed. I will pray that you have car trouble. I will pray that you stay away because you forget that the casino always wins. It's not the way that God wants you to get wealthy. It's not. We can joke because we all kind of are tempted by this and we look at other people and we go, oh man, they have a problem. And then we do it. Stop that. Okay? Jesus loves you and he wants you to stop that. All right. But it's not just gambling. It's not just get rich quick schemes. It can also be things like this, where there's income that's disproportionate to the responsibility. Here's what I'm talking about. Is God intends blessing landing on you to be a blessing to others. So there can be times when those situations arise. Now, when there's a CEO who carries more responsibility than the rest of the company, should they make more money? Yes, they should. Because they've worked harder. They're carrying a greater load. But the point of blessing is that not just when an organization or a business is blessed, it's not just that only one person benefits, it's that everybody benefits. This is where a lack of generosity can actually choke off the blessing of God. So we need to think about that. It can also be those situations where somebody is able to work, but unwilling to work. Now, hear me very carefully. The Bible has nothing but compassion for people who are disabled. Nothing but compassion. In fact, he calls followers of Christ, just like Linda shared earlier today, when we have a capacity to meet a need. We should. It has nothing but compassion for those who are disabled. And it has nothing but warning for those who are lazy. When you're able to work, but you're unwilling to work, that's a problem. Because it means we've fallen just like the gambler. Just like the get-rich-quick scheme person. Just like the CEO who will not share the wealth. We have fallen for the trap of wealth without work. We have a need. We all need money. And God wants you to have it. He knows that you need things to live. That's good. So the solution, in some sense, it's self-evident, isn't it? It's to work. And to remember that you have something to contribute. The solution is work plus generosity. Remembering that God, as he blesses you, he blesses you in order that you might be a blessing to the people around you. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says this. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Now, I don't know exactly how this works other than the fact that I believe that God is in control, and I've seen it time and time and time and time and time again. I've yet to meet somebody who tithes who has long-term money trouble. Why? I believe it's because of this principle that God has sown into the universe that those who are generous experience the blessing of God. Now, I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I'm not talking about health and wealth. I'm just talking about growing in generosity and living open-handedly. And remembering that for every single one of us, we have something to contribute. You have something to give of your resources, of your time, of your talent, of your love, of your compassion. There is everybody has something to contribute. And as we contribute, we step into the blessing of God. We step into the ways of wisdom that God has infused throughout the universe. So that's trap number one. Maybe that's been your trap. Let's hit trap number two. Here's the other one where the Bible just has verse after verse after verse after verse, especially in Proverbs. And this is this one. It's the lure of sexual fulfillment without commitment. Ah, does this happen today? Okay, let's read it. Proverbs chapter 6, this is one of many because I don't want you to just take this because I said it. Please, please, please. I want you to get into God's word and investigate it for yourselves. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 through 29. For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life, keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. Remembering, Solomon is writing to his son, so he's talking about dangerous women, right? But there's dangerous men too. Picking up from verse 25, do not let lust in your heart, after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For a prostitute can be had for a loaf of bread, but another man's wife preys on your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. You can get briquettes in your britches. That's not the burn you want to feel. The Bible uses this metaphor, the metaphor of fire. Sex is like fire. Now, fire has a place. In a house, we call that a fireplace. So we didn't get real technical here today. Fire in a fireplace is great. Can I get an amen? You can put a fire in a fireplace and you can let it burn hot. Can I hear you say hot? And it's good, right? Good hot fire in a good fireplace, it's good. It keeps the house warm and toasty. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. But the difference between a good hot fire in a good fireplace and a problem is when the fire gets out of the fireplace. That's when you need to get out of that place because now you got a problem, right? Fire in a fireplace is good. Don't ever think that the Bible is prudish about sex. You got to read it, okay? Like, there were in Proverbs 5, I'm not going to put it on the screen because, like, I'm going to blush. It's kind of crazy. You could read Song of Solomon, and that's just, like, written by the same guy, like, two books later. Just check it out. It's fantastic. The Bible isn't prudish about it at all. But it warns us. Fire is good. Fire is powerful, and fire has a place. And that place, for the fire that is sex, that place is marriage. When the fire is in the fireplace, let it burn hot. But outside of the fireplace, it can cause tremendous damage. It can hurt. And for some of you today, I'm describing your pain. And I've been trying to make light of this a little bit because this is a heavy topic, trying to have a little bit of fun with it. Thanks for playing along with me. You need to know if this has been part of your story that there is nothing but grace here, okay? We struggle. People struggle. There is nothing but grace here. You are among friends. And you need to know that God has a better plan. So how might misplaced or the lure of sexual fulfillment without commitment, how might that get expressed today? Sex outside of marriage. It's also porn. Also porn. We have easier access to it than almost any time in history. And this is both the porn that is generally entrapping to men, the more visual forms. I realize I am generalizing here. And also the lady porn, the romance novels, all of them. Fire in the wrong place. Good thing, wrong place. Fire goes in the fireplace. And God tells us that because he loves us. And this is one of the areas where people of God are going to live very differently than the people of our culture. Because you're not going to hear this message hardly anywhere else but in this wonderful book. But God has sovereignly ordained that there are ways of living that bring blessing and satisfaction in life. And the more we walk in step with that, the better things get. Now, with both of those things, and I forgot to mention this with the first trap, but you know, so there's a need that's for sexual fulfillment, and the solution is commitment, because we need to know that we are created for lifelong partnerships. You need to know that if you're struggling, whether that's with a gambling addiction, or whether that's with debt, or whether this sex outside of marriage or pornography, this is part of your pain today. You need to know that there's help. You need to know that there's friends around you. Now, I would love to talk to you about any of those things, and I realize that those kind of conversations can be kind of tough. So we hid some resources, cleverly disguised on our website, okay? Under columbiagrove.org, Wise Dumb Resources, at the top there's some links. Support groups, trustworthy counselors. There is help. God loves you. We love you. There's help. Let's look at trap number three. I'm almost done. Okay? And this one might come as a little bit of a surprise, but this is one that again, the Proverbs bring up repeatedly, and I urge you to look these up. Here's trap number three. Friendships without discernment. Proverbs 13:20 says this. This is one of these promises. I mean, in some sense, it's sort of common sense, but sometimes we need to be reminded of common sense. But walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Here's the thing that we need to remember. Now, parents, you apply this to your kids. I know that. But we fail sometimes, grown-ups. We fail to apply it to ourselves. And it's to remember simply this, that our friends influence us. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So here's something that may be helpful for you. Because the point of walking as a believer isn't that we abandon people, but it is that we have discernment about the people that we let in closest to our heart. Sometimes it can be helpful to think of it in these categories. Who are my core friends? What are my core friendships? The people that have deep access to me. Like, one of the things we like to talk about here, and one of the reasons why we love to get people into connection groups, is we want you to form good Christian friends. One of the goals that we have for you, one of the goals that I have for you, is that you would have some close Christian friends that you could call at 2:00 in the morning and not need to apologize for it. You've heard that phrase before. That's what I'm talking about with a core friend. People that know you, that love you, and share many of the same values. Doesn't mean they need to be all exactly the same, but people that are generally trying to go in the same direction. If you want to be walking as a Christian in a healthy way, you need to surround yourself with healthy Christians as your core. friendships. But that doesn't mean you abandon everybody. So it can be helpful too to think about, no, who are people I'm just simply called to care for? So you're there for people when they need them. You're showing compassion and grace to people all around you. You hold tightly to the core and hold more loosely to the people in your networks and acquaintances that just need your care. So you're there for people, but you are careful. You're discerning about who you let all the way in. Because if we walk with the wise, we become wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. So if you want to change your life, it might be time to change some of your core friendships. So I want you to think about, because remember the question I launched this whole thing off with? Because rather than give you a whole sermon series and just one sermon that's just getting a whole bunch of stuff, and you thanked me for that, sort of, kind of, I kind of goaded you to do that. But here's the question. Which of these three questions has affected you the most? Where have you felt the greatest gravitational pull? And if you could, knowing what you know now, what advice do you wish that a younger you could have heard about that trap? Which of the three? I want to close with James chapter 1, verse 5. It's the promise of God. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You need to know that God is for you and not against you. That God loves you desperately. Can I see your eyes? I promise I'm almost done. I know I've gone a little bit long. You got three sermons for the price of one. It's great. Okay, but here's the thing. God loves you. He has a fantastic plan for your life. He wants your life to be good. And the starting point for that is to ask for his help. Lord, I want to grow in wisdom. So God, would you lead me? God, would you help me? If any of you lack wisdom, I do. Do you? Ask God. Because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross for us, all the sins and mistakes of our past do not define our future. He died once and for all, so that every mistake that you have ever made is forgiven, so that your future is wide open and bright. That the mistakes of your past do not define you. They do not form the core of your identity. That when God sees you, he sees a redeemed son, a redeemed daughter. Redeemed because of the cross. And so as we ask God for help, he gives it. So maybe the starting point today, I'm going to invite the band to come up because we're going to jump into song in just a moment, but the starting point today is just, do you want it? Do you want it? Now, the journey of wisdom is going to take a lifetime. That's why we celebrate when marriages have made 74 years. They've learned something along those years. The journey of wisdom takes a lifetime, but that journey starts with a single decision. And for some of us today, this could be the big day. This could be the decision day. This could be the day that journey of wisdom gets started. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God can turn it around. And I believe he wants to do that for us today. Would you bow your heads with me? Now, if you feel like you have been distant from God, and if today that verse about asking God for wisdom, that just rings true in your life, and you're saying, God, I just need your help. I just need your help. I've kept you at arm's length, but now I want you close. I need your help. If you are making a first-time commitment to Christ, or maybe a recommitment to Christ, and you just feel like you just need to get realigned with the God who loves you. Not going to put you on the spot, but I do ask, just so I can minister to you and we can celebrate what God's doing in our midst. Just, can we just make eye contact for a moment? Yeah. Yeah. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Yeah. And all around the room, our brothers and sisters are taking that first step. Let's pray out loud with them. And if it's appropriate, grab the hand of the person next to you. Let's pray. Let's pray, church. Dear God, would you pray out loud with me? Dear God, thank you that through Jesus Christ, I am forgiven. I am set free. I am redeemed. That through Jesus Christ, you have good plans for my life. So God, I ask for your help. Give me wisdom to know and to do the right thing. And Lord, let my life be a blessing to others. Jesus died for me. I want to live for him. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Well, let's give the Lord a hand. There's about 15, 20 people around the room that today made a new commitment to Christ. God is shaping new futures because of what the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, is doing right here, right now. I invite you to stand. Dagan is going to lead us in the song.